Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Friday. You heard from him this past Monday, and Jason Waller is back with us to share the tactics of owning your power. Jason, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, good to be here, man. Good to be here.
Man, we had such a great, inspiring episode this past Monday. If y'all didn't check it out, go back, listen to that when you're done with this episode, because I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with Jason. You're going to fall in love with the underdog stories that he is cultivating and his own underdog story. And today he's going to share with us owning your power, how to go about that, what it feels like, and the tactical piece of actually owning that, which is going to lead into a pretty awesome book titled The Same, that's going to go even further into it than we are today. Jason, go ahead and give the audience a little down low about owning your power.
Well, I got the book, and thank you. I appreciate that. I got the book called Own Your Power, No Excuses, The Time Is Now. And really, the book is going to capitalize on some of the events. It's going to be, you know, telling the stories and issues and objections and hurdles I've had to overcome to go from high school dropout, no college, having a kid in my teens, you know, living in a trailer park, people made fun of me, child abuse, all these things to opening three different companies that were successful, and this one being a $1 billion company and managing, you know, thousands of people along the way and having a top five podcast. And how did you get to there, right? I didn't go to school for it. It was hard knocks. It was really creating my own map, not taking no for an answer, you know, utilizing different people's issues with me or their doubt in me and capitalizing on that as fuel to really grow myself and find another way to be successful. And so that the book is going to go into those details. And when we say own your power, it's not, you know, that's the slogan at Power Home Solar, but that's because, you know, that's why I want to do it. That's what I'm always saying. But this is for your internal mind, for your soul, for how do you own your power? And when you wake up every single morning and you put your feet on the ground, you're in control. Nobody else. This is your body. This is your soul. This is your mind, right? God gave you that, but it's your choice to do what you want to do with it. So what are you going to do with it? Well, some people go and work out. You know, you and me talked about, we have to start our day working out. Some people don't. Some people want to go eat. Some people want to go run. Some people want to go swim. Some people just want to sleep most of the day, but you choose. And then when you get done, after you get up in the morning, you put your feet on the ground and you're getting your day started. You choose if you go to work that day at a place that you don't like or a place that you love, or you choose if you want to apply for a job or you don't, or you choose if you want to apply to school or you don't. But the problem we have in this world is they think they don't have choice. They think they don't own their power. They think that maybe they have parents that have instilled in them, this is your way. You're going to college. You're getting a normal job. You're doing this. I mean, you and I are near the same age, I would assume. And that was always instilled in me as a kid. You're going to go to college and you're going to get a good job. Well, I didn't go to college. I didn't finish high school. And, you know, I have my own career, but I didn't have to follow what my dad said I had to do. And neither do the people and the listeners out there or the people who read the book out there. This is your damn life. This is your choice. You're not living your life for your mom or your dad. You're not living your life for your wife or your girlfriend or your kids. You're supposed to take care of your wife. You're supposed to take care of your girlfriend. You're supposed to love and take care of your kids. But this is your life. It is your power. You have to choose what you're going to do with it because you don't get any extra time. You don't get a reset. You don't get a redo. Every day that goes by is another day. If you feel like you didn't do what you wanted to do and you weren't in control creating your own map, then you're going to have regret, and that's forever. And so, you know, owning power is really decision-making at the basic level first. What am I going to do today? How am I going to finish today? Is today going to be better than yesterday? And it's all mindset. If you think it won't be, guess what? It won't be. If you think it will be, guess what? It will be. You get to control that, not only with your mind, but your decision-making. And that's where it starts.
It's really interesting to me. You said a couple things that fascinate me about you don't get more time, right? You never get time back. That is the one commodity, right? You can always get more money. You can buy time, but you can never get that time back, right? You can buy a jet to get somewhere faster, save a little bit of time, but you're not getting the time back. And it took a very long time, and people don't understand the value of time, generally speaking. It took a very long time for me to really put an emphasis on my time's valuable because I'm not getting it back. It literally took deployment to Afghanistan, unfortunately losing a couple of soldiers, seeing time getting taken, for me to come back in a different mindset of, bro, I ain't got time left like that. We don't have time to spare like that, because you never know. Literally, you see it in an instant, it's gone. Mm-hmm. What I would love to hear is, like, obviously you've had this shift. You're talking about owning your power. You're talking about you don't get more time. What was that shift for you, where all of a sudden you realized the value, the true value of time? Because I think you understand it in a way that a lot of people don't really get it.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, you know, when I had a kid really early, and that was like a wake-up call, because I always had, like, I was a sales guy. I was making pretty good money for my age, getting jobs I probably shouldn't have had, but I had all this skill set of being able to talk to people and being passionate. And when Hannah was on her way, and we did everything backwards. I mean, when I say backwards, I mean, you know, me and my wife, we were together. She got pregnant, and then, you know, her mom didn't want her to have the baby, tried to make her give up Hannah for adoption. So we had these huge fights. In fact, the day I went to go see Hannah born, her mom blocked me from coming, and they went under an alias name. And I was 18 years old and Liz was 17. And so I walk into the hospital thinking I'm going to go see Hannah born. I saw her mom and sister outside, and I walk in there and I go, hey, I'm here to see Elizabeth, you know, and say the last name. And they're like, well, she's not here. I said, no, she's here. I just saw her mom and sister outside. She's having my baby today. I'm here to see her. And she goes, sir, they're under an alias name. They don't want any visitors. I said, well, that's my daughter being born. And her mom's been trying to give her up for adoption. Like, this is an issue for me. And she's like, sir, I apologize. Well, I had a Polaroid camera. She's like, I'll tell you what you can do. This is when you could see the babies. You can go up there and take pictures of the babies if you want, but you can't see the names on them. So I'm up there crying with my buddy, taking pictures of these kids. And I'm 18 years old, thinking and wondering, which one's mine? And something hit me right there that I have to fight to get her. I have to go get a lawyer, and I have to get my shit together. I have to create my own map and not take no for an answer. I have to own my power right now. This is my power. This is my kid. I have to take control. And so I did. I left there. I went and got an attorney that day. Well, long story short, my wife's mom and sister left her, and she had the baby that night by herself. And then her mom was mad at her. She had the baby. And so she went and moved in with her grandma. And then me and her got back together, and I got to see Hannah. And long story short, but the point of that story is, me and her decided we were keeping that baby. We weren't living our lives for her mom. We decided that this is how it was going to be, and we were going to own our power, and it was our right to do that. And the world was stacked against us, and we didn't care. And so I went and, you know, I had a good job, but I wanted to make more money. How do I get a bigger job? How do I provide more? And so something went off. And then when you talk about time, fast forward, I've got four kids now and a grandkid. My kids are 22, 17, 13, and 10, three girls, and then my son. And then I have a granddaughter who's 18 months and a grandson on his way. I have lived my life for everybody else all the time. Let me make everybody happy. And so probably the past 2 years, and I'm 41 years old, I started to live more for me. That's not bad. That's not selfish. I still provide for my family. I still give everything I can to my wife. I still coach sports with my kids. I still do prayer with them at night. We still have movie night. We have dinner night. I do all that. But you know what? I got to do a little bit of me. And it's important that everybody out there, I go to the gym for me. You know, I'll do a podcast to release for me. I'll go for a drive for me. I'll go golf for me. We have to take control of our lives and own that time and own that power, because if we don't, you're going to get burned out and you're going to get resentful. I've been there. I've been there where I'm working and working and working and working, and you feel like a gerbil and you're just running, and everybody's taking and living their lives and you just keep running, and that gets exhausting. So you have to find outlets and you have to find things that you can control to reset your mind. I'm a high strung, high wired dude, right? I don't do any drugs. I mean, I wish I could do something to calm me down, but I trip out. Like I can't do drugs. It's just me and drugs. We don't get along. It's just not, I could never do them. I struggle with that, but I wish there was something I could tone it down and relax. I can't, I'm just wired this way. And so my resting place is a shower with some great 80s music or 90s rap. My resting place is a long drive with some great music. My resting place is doing a podcast and giving back and pouring this energy out rather than holding it in. You know, because I love working, I love grinding, but I choose every day who's going to be on my team, who I'm going to hire. I make those decisions. And, you know, opposites attract. My wife's the opposite of me. She doesn't make good decisions, meaning not that they're bad. She just doesn't make decisions. She second guesses herself and she's, you know, inconsistent. Like, I don't know if I should do it. Should I do that? What do you think? And that's worse than making a bad decision. You know, if you just don't make a decision and you live in that mud, you're bound to fail. And that means anxiety's controlling your life and anxiety owns your power. You don't. You're letting anxiety or worry or fear own your power, not you. You have to strip everything and take control. And when we say own your power, that is your life, your mind, your body, your mission, your vision, your journey is yours. Some of the chapters are like create your own map and owning your power. Scared money don't make money. You mentioned that earlier as one of the quotes. That's one of the chapters, you know. Haters, I love fucking haters. That's one of the chapters in the book because we need haters. If we don't have haters like me, it ain't about money to me. Whether I make 50 million or 500 million, I can't spend it all. It doesn't matter to me. I didn't have money before, so I don't really give a shit. What matters to me is impacting people and leaving a legacy to help people go forward and winning. But sometimes I feel like I'm not challenged enough. I'm like, damn, dude, we just keep winning. You don't get better if you don't lose. You don't get better if you don't fail. So it's like, damn, I don't want this to be easy. So I have to continue to challenge myself or do other things that push the bar higher. But one thing that always keeps me going are the naysayers, are the haters, are the complainers, family members, friends, in-laws, people, you can't do that. There's no way that'll be. There's nothing like making a hater eat their own damn words. And I don't have to go eat your own words. I just do it. And then I watch that they're watching me. And there's three kinds of people in the world. There are people that are proud of successful people and they love them and they want, I am so thankful that you're successful and they want to learn from them. That's how I am. When I see someone successful, I get excited for them. I never get jealous. I'm like excited for them and I want to learn some from them. Whether they have more or less than me is irrelevant. We all can teach each other stuff. We're human beings. So I get excited. There's that person. There's another person who gets intimidated by success. Right? So they're like, oh, they're successful. So they're going to stay away and they're going to be shy and they're not going to communicate with you or they're not going to interact with you because they're very intimidated. Some old high school friends, maybe some ex-girlfriends or boyfriends, maybe even some family members that are really intimidated by your success. There's those. And then three, these are the ones that are, in my opinion, the shit bags, but we need them. We need a lot of them. These are the true haters. These are the ones that will be like, oh, he's only successful because of this. And they want to tell everybody else why you're something and bash you. And guess what they're doing? While you're worried about you owning your power, controlling it, guess what you own? You own their fucking power too, because they're talking about you. So they're not owning their own power. You own their damn power because they're worried about you. You continue to grow. They're paying attention. And when you convert them to fans, that's the best feeling. Or have them come work for you later. I've had some haters come work for me. It's like, you know, now I couldn't do it. Now they got to work for me. You know how embarrassing that is? I've even brought a couple haters, and I won't say names. They know who they are, on my podcast. Can I get on your podcast? Hell yeah, you get on my podcast. You see what I'm saying? That to me is what it's about. And that's owning your power. Those are the little boxes that market off for me. That's probably the worst thing about me. That's the sick part is I love that shit. I love when people say, you can't, you won't. I'm like, it's not your choice. You're not God. God's God. I can do what I want. You don't pick that. So I love that.
Man, I correlate with that very much. I mean, even just a couple months ago, I own six businesses and I'm still getting told every couple months by family, you should go get a job. It's more secure. You'll be better there. I'm like, so taking that motivation, owning your own power and not letting somebody else decide, man, that is such a freeing thing when you can say, yeah, you know, that worked for you, but this is really working for me. And having that confidence in yourself and establishing that, I think is so powerful. tell the audience again the title of the book, where they can get it, the podcast, give everybody how they can reach out to you and start understanding this concept of owning their power.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So the book's called, and it's going to come out in May, Own Your Power. No bullshit, no excuses. The time is now. And it'll come out. The person, Kay, who wrote David Coggins' book, is writing my book. So she's top notch. It's my story. I'm writing it, but she's putting it on paper because I can't spell for shit. So she's good at this stuff, right? And then if you want to check out the podcast, you get a lot of these tidbits in the podcast, you know, on the underbites. And then I interview some great people. It's trueunderdog.com. We're on iHeart, Spotify, Apple, all of them. YouTube channel. And then I have Instagram, Jason Waller, bam. And then jasonwaller.com for speaking stuff. But powerhome.com to get solar and own your power that way with the battery generator. But I'd say the message to people really that they just need to remember is it's your life. You need to own your power. You need to create your own map. You need to not let people dictate. It doesn't matter how important they are to you. It doesn't matter how much you love them. You're not a bad person for making your decision for you. And the biggest thing is make the decision. Don't doubt yourself. There is no such thing as a wrong decision. There's really not, in my opinion. You make a decision and you stick with it and go all in. Because here's what happens. People make a decision and they go, I wonder if that would have been better. And then this decision they make, they didn't really give it the chance because they were too worried about the one they didn't make. And then it was just wasteful. If you make a decision and you go all in on it and it doesn't work, then you learned something. But you never go backwards. You never change your mind. You never second guess your intuition. Make the decision and go forward. If this is something you want to do, you talked about you own six businesses. Congrats to you, because I think that's awesome that you have to be challenged. You're that type of personality. You got to do different things. It's not about how big a company is or how many companies you have or how much money you make. I got into business because I didn't want to work for anybody anymore. I was like, I'm an asshole. Ding, ding, ding. I don't deal with management very well. I got to be my own boss. Sorry. It was never about money for me. And when the biggest failure for entrepreneurs is they chase money and they pay themselves too early, too much, and they fall down. You can't chase money. There's so many business owners out there that just get by, but you know what? They're impacting the world and they love what they do. And if you love what you do, you're successful. It's not about money. It's about filling that hole.
Jason, I absolutely love it, man. You get it. The audience is about to get it thanks to your message and your power. Thank you so much for the value and your time today, my friend.
Hey, and thank you for your efforts in the military. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast. And I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.